if you abide in me as the branch in the tree, John 15, this is John 15. If you abide in me, you can bear fruit. Otherwise, without me, John 15, verse 5, you can do zero. So that is faith, the helpless dependence of a branch upon a tree. We have heard so much about faith from Pentecostals who say that you'll be healed if sickness is by faith. And the more you listen to them, the more confused you'll be. I would urge you, don't listen to them. Listen to Jesus in the Bible. I stopped listening to all these people who got wrong teachings on faith. And so I don't get confused. I say, Jesus said, to be helplessly dependent on a tree, like a branch. What does the tree expect that branch to do? Nothing except stick to me. Just stick to me. Don't cut yourself off. You don't have to produce one fruit. Imagine if Jesus were to say to you, my dear child, you don't have to produce one fruit in your life. That is my responsibility, the Lord says. Just depend on me and trust, lean upon me for everything. And keep the channels in your life open so that my sap, the Holy Spirit, can flow into you all the time. The fruit will come automatically. That is the secret of fruitfulness. And when you get that type of fruit, you will never be proud. No. The more fruit you produce in your life, the humbler you'll become. You've seen these branches, which have very little fruit, they're very erect. The more fruit comes in the branch begins to hang down. The more fruit there is, the more the branch hangs down in humility. That's the mark of a person with much fruit. The more he has, the humbler he becomes. Because he knows that I cannot produce even one. A mango tree, the branch cannot produce one mango by itself. It knows that. So it says, I'm just going to lean in the tree. The Christian life is a very simple life. The person who's poor in spirit says, I can't do anything. I'm just going to lean in Jesus and be dependent upon him constantly for everything. I wish all of us would come into that simple life and meditate, my brothers and sisters. When you read scripture, develop the habit of meditating. We miss so much if we don't meditate. When Jesus spoke about the branch in the tree and said, you can do nothing without me, meditate on the branch in the tree. Whenever you feel, I've got to do something for God, I'll tell you what you got to do. Lean upon the Lord in helplessness. That's what you got to do. And to say, Lord, I can do nothing. Do you know that Jesus himself said, I can do nothing? Turn with me to the Gospel of John. And see what he says in John chapter 5 and verse 30. Can you believe Jesus saying this? I can do nothing on my own initiative. I told you how Jesus sometimes repeats some things two or three times within a period of 1 or 2 minutes. This is another of those statements. Just 1 minute earlier, he said in verse 19, John 5, 19, truly I say to you, I can do nothing. And then 1 minute later, he says, I can do nothing. He said, Lord, I heard it. I heard you say that. No, you haven't heard it. You need to hear it again. Because you people think you can do something. That's your problem. But if Jesus, as far as I'm concerned, I can do nothing. And God is seeking to work in all of us proud human beings and proud believers, especially those of us who think we are better than other believers because we've got a purer doctrine. I fear that danger is there in CFC believers. Oh, we've got a purer doctrine than others, so we are better than others. And I've seen that type of pride come into CFC believers who look down on Roman Catholics or Mar Thoma people or other people who or in other groups. I mean, if you avoid them for their wrong doctrines, like you hear me speak about the wrong doctrines of the Pentecostals, because they deceive people, the preachers. I'm not talking about that, but don't look down on people there. We must not look down on anyone in any denomination. There are some godly people in the Roman Catholic Church. I believe that. Well, born again, their doctrine is wrong, but their life is right. Just like in CFC, there are people whose doctrine is right, whose life is wrong. So, it's the life that matters. And the truly spiritual person is the one who recognizes, like Jesus, I can do nothing of myself. That's what Jesus said. And if I see the Father doing something, I do that. He says, I don't even give an opinion, John 5:30. I don't want to give my opinion about people. As I hear, John 5:30, I judge. That means when the Lord looks into a person or looks at a situation, he's waiting for the Father to tell him. Why does the Father have to tell him? Doesn't Jesus know everything? No, but he came to earth like us. And he lived on earth like a person, like a child, depending on the Father for everything. Who else can say, I can do nothing? It's a baby who says, I can do nothing. But Jesus says in 1 minute, he says twice, I can do nothing unless I see the Father do it. I cannot do anything on my own initiative. I have to wait for the Father to tell me and I'll do. That's why he prayed so much. That's why he sought the Lord, the Father's face frequently. The more confident you are in yourself, let me tell you a law. The more confident you are in yourself, the less you will pray. Always, that is the rule. You pray less because you don't need God's help. You can manage on your own. Why do you need to pray? Jesus could not manage on his own. So he frequently went to pray. Before other people got up, he would get up and get alone somewhere to pray. Why? Because he couldn't do anything. Why is it Christians are not like that? Because we can do a lot of things. But see what's become. What has your life accomplished for the Lord? Think of it. Ask yourself, what has your life accomplished for the Lord? You made a lot of money, perhaps, and done so many clever things. But what has your life accomplished for the Lord in terms of eternity? You may say, I've got a few people to the Lord here and there. It could have been 10 times more if you were a little more helpless. If you had, or you say, I belong to a good church. Is that all God wants you to be, to belong to a good church? No, there's a lot more. I want to say to every one of you, my brothers and sisters, every branch, every part of Christ's body, he wants to use for his glory. And I want to say to you, even if you're an ordinary brother in one of the churches there in the Gulf, God wants to use you. Even if you're an insignificant, you're not an elder or a preacher or anything in the church, you're an insignificant brother. God wants to use you. He wants to use you in your office. He wants to use you in your neighborhood. He wants to let a light shine through you that people who encounter you will never forget that they met a man of God. When I was a young Christian, I was only 20, 23 years old when I was working in the Navy, but I felt, Lord, I'm not a great scholar or anything. I didn't know much of the Bible those days, but I love Jesus. And I said, Lord, all the people I meet with in the ship, they must never forget in their entire life that they met one true Christian in their life. That's all. Maybe I can't answer all their questions or explain so many things they ask. Maybe I don't know. But they should never forget that once in their life, they met a true Christian. And that was my goal, not to show myself as a great preacher, because I didn't know so much those days. I was only 23, 24 years old. I was 26 years old when I left my job in the Navy, and God called me out. But I remember I was so encouraged when 40 years later, I met one of those admirals who was a colleague of mine, a little senior to me in the Cochin Naval Base. And I meet him in Bangalore. He's retired now. And he comes to me and says, Zach, I can never forget you. He remembered. I was so encouraged that my Christian witness, he did not forget for 40 years. I did not preach great sermons to him. I just stood up for certain things saying, "Sir, I cannot do that because that's against my convictions."